show must go on. A serial in 8 episodes by Gerald Werner, with interpolated numbers by Edward J. Mason and Gavril Hempseed. Episode 1, Overture and Beginners.
Yes, Mr. Brett. You're using the second set for this number, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, that'll be here. You can't go further back than this, Miss Sheddingham. Look, where this chair is.
Oh, I see.
Right. Then let's start the number from the beginning, please. Ready, Keith?
Yes, all right, Kevin.
I can't get you out of my mind. For my memories of you.
Semicircle at the end of the first chorus. Don't come so far down.
All right, Mr. Brett.
Okay, we'll break now for lunch. Everybody back at 2 o'clock sharp, please.
Oh, Mr. Brett.
Yes, Miss Peters?
Need I come back at 2? I've rather an important appointment.
Well, I think Keith wanted to...
Yes, I want to try that number with you. It's not quite right, you know.
Couldn't we do it some other time, Mr. Gilbert? I'm lunching with Mr. Defoe, and I can't possibly be back by 2.
Well,
all right, Miss Peters, but please get back as soon as you can.
Thank you, Mr. Brett. I shan't be too long.
As that woman puts on, she makes me sick.
I know. But Defoe would never have let us have this theater if we hadn't agreed to star Madeline Peters. And there's no other theater available. We've just got to put up with her.
I wouldn't mind so much if she was good. She isn't. That girl you were talking to just now, Tangy, what's her name, can sing her into a cocked hat.
Tangy Ward hasn't got a boyfriend who owns theatres, Keith.
No.
Mr. Brett?
Yes?
Mr. MacDonald asked me to bring you these sketches. Sigorsky left them at the office half an hour ago.
Oh, thank you, Miss Winter. Where's Ronnie?
Over there talking to Natty. Ronnie!
You want me?
Hmm.
Oh, good morning, Miss Winter.
Good morning, Mr. Hayes.
What is it, Tillard?
Look, Ronnie, here are the sketches for the finale dresses. What do you think of them?
Hmm.
I must go back to the office, Mr. Brett. Have you any message from Mr. MacDonald?
No, I don't think so. I'll be seeing him when we finish rehearsing this afternoon. Thanks for bringing these sketches.
That's all right, Mr. Brett. Sigorsky said they were important. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, Miss Winter. Mmm. I say, these dresses are going to look good, Clifford.
Yes. Yes, her designs are excellent.
Mm. And she does handle color so well, doesn't she?
Well, let's go over the road for a drink and a snack.
Good. Well... How's it going, kids?
Oh, hello, Nutty.
Hello, Nutty.
I thought you were going to take Maisie Sheringham out to lunch.
So I was, but she had other ideas. She's a smashing bit of homework, ain't she? Oh, blimey, she's got everything.
Including a luncheon date.
Never mind, Nutty. You'll have to put up with us. Come on, then.
Keep on the bidder. A
double whiskey and a ginger ale and a gin and tonic. What are you going to have to eat?
Now, look here, Nutty. You're not doing all this.
Of course I am. What's it going to be? Have what you like. We've got the place to ourselves.
Very nice chicken salad today, sir.
Well, that'll do me.
Mm, sounds good to me, too.
I'd rather have cheese, I think.
Cheese salad, sir?
Yes, but without cucumber.
Please. Well, that's got the food settled. I'll go and get our drinks.
Nutty's a good chap, but I do wish he wouldn't always insist on paying for everything.
He only gets hurt if you don't let him. Yeah. After all, you don't win £70,000 in a football pool every day, do you?
No. That was an amazing bit of luck for him, wasn't it?
Yes, and for us. If Nutty hadn't agreed to back us, there'd have been no show.
Yeah, I know.
Do you remember when we first talked about it, Keith? You and I and Ronnie with Rommel shells screaming all around us?
Yeah. Flies by the million. Yeah. You know, Ronnie used to scribble lyrics on any odd bits of paper he could find, and I'd hum tunes to him. We said if we ever got back, we'd do a show together.
And here we are. It's all come true, thanks to Nutty.
I'll never forget the day we ran into him in that pub in Charing Cross Road.
I don't know which he was more pleased about, winning 70,000 quid or seeing us again.
It's funny the things that stick in your mind. Do you remember old Colonel Plym's face when Ronnie gave him the lyric for I Can't Get You Out of My Mind in mistake for that message from GHQ?
I don't think he ever believed that I wasn't trying to pull his leg.
Well, you know, it kept us going, thinking and planning and talking about the show. But we never dreamt it would come to anything. How we clung on to those odd scraps of paper it was written on was an absolute miracle.
Beer for you, Mr. Brake.
Oh, thanks.
Whiskey and ginger ale for you, Mr. Gilbert.
God bless you, Nutty. Well, why don't you drop the Mr. Nutty? You're not my Batman now, you know.
He's habit, I suppose. I don't seem to be able to get out of it.
Oh, blimey.
What wouldn't we have given for a pint of lovely cold beer in North Africa, right?
Yeah, we've just been talking about that.
Remember how you used to scrounge all bits of paper you could find, Nutty?
Oh, I should say so. I nearly got a black eye from Corporal Smithers for pinching that letter from his bit of skirt.
Remember that?
Right. I wrote Country Air on that.
You know, there isn't a page of the script that hasn't got a story attached to it.
Let's hope it's going to be a success story.
Well, it ought to be. We've put everything we've got into it.
It's just got to be. The rehearsals are going jolly well.
Mm. Yes, except for Madeline Peters.
Yes, I know. But we can't do anything about that. We've got to put up with her if we want the Rialto. And without the Rialto, we're sunk.
Look, it's Tangy Ward.
Oh, yes.
She's all by herself. Let's call her over, shall we?
Miss Ward?
Three chicken salads and a cheese salad, sir.
Thank you.
Here you are. Take the whole lot out of that, will you?
Thank you, sir.
Hello.
Hello, Tangy. Here's a stool. Sit down.
Thanks.
What are you going to have, miss?
Oh, that's very nice of you, Mr. Potts. I'd like a shandy, please.
And a nice bit of chicken salad, eh?
Oh, no, thank you.
Well, might as well. Nutty will be horribly offended if you don't.
That's right. Go on, have a bash.
Yes, go on, Tangy, have a bash.
All right. Oh, we'll have a bash. Thank you, Mr.
Let's have another of them chicken salads, chum, will you?
Another chicken salad, yes, sir.
I'll just stop over and get your shandy. I won't be a tick.
Oh, I'm being an awful nuisance.
Of course you're not.
Why, Nutty loves it. He's thoroughly enjoying it, sir.
I think he's a dear.
Yes, yeah, one of the best, though, Nutty.
How do you like the show, Tangy?
Very much. Is it true you wrote it while you were in the army?
That's right. Most of it was written in North Africa.
How on earth did you manage it?
Well, Jerry was a bit of a nuisance at times.
Yes, he started shelling us once when Ronnie was trying to find a rhyme for lasted.
Did he find it?
Yes, he did, but it was hardly suitable.
Here you are, Teddy.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Potts.
Call me Nutty, miss. Everyone does. Well, cheerio. Here's luck to the show.
Cheerio, Nutty.
Cheers. Cheers.
Most astonishing luck.
You are, sir?
Chicken salad.
Pop it down in front of the lady, mate. You can keep the change.
Thank you, sir.
Ooh, that looks good.
It is. I can fully recommend it.
This beer's fine. What do we, Cliff? Defoe signed the contract for the theatre yet?
No, he signed our half. He hasn't signed his. At least his lawyers haven't sent it back yet.
It's a lovely theatre, isn't it? I've always wanted to be in the show of the Rialto.
Haven't you played there before, Tangy?
No, I rehearsed once from one of Mr. Defoe's productions, but...
What happened?
Well, Madeline Peters, she didn't like me, so Mr. Defoe gave me my notice.
Well, she won't be able to do nothing like that this time.
Look, perhaps I shouldn't say this. It's none of my business, really, but if you're going to have any dealings with Mr. Defoe, you want to be very careful.
How do you mean, Tangy?
He's very smart. He'd twist you if he can.
I don't see how he can twist us very easily. We've got the theatre on a rental basis with a share of the gross of seats. He can't do much jiggery-pokery about that, can he?
No. No, perhaps he can't, Mr. Brett, but... All the same, do watch your step.
Had you not better be getting back, Madeline?
Oh, there's plenty of time, Philip. Let them wait. They daren't say anything to me, you know that. Order me another brandy, there's a darling.
All right. Waiter?
Yes, Mr. Defoe?
Another cognac.
Yes.
They've got the making of a good show, you know. He's has got some clever ideas, and Gilbert's music is very tuneful.
Oh, it's not bad.
It's very good. I realized how good when they first approached me about the Rialto. I think it will be a big success. But...
Well, but what?
Why should it be a success for them?
What are you getting at?
Your cognac, sir.
Thank you. I've lost a lot of money in the theater during the last 2 years, Madeline. More than I liked losing. My last reproduction lost money. Why shouldn't I get it back out of this review?
How can you? It's not your show.
No, but it might easily become mine.
What do you mean?
I see you don't quite understand.
I don't.
Now listen. The scenery, it is being built and painted now. They have ordered most of the dresses and the entire cast have received the contract. They are committed for thousands of pounds.
Yes, I know all that.
If anything stopped the show going on, the greater part of that money would be lost.
I still don't get it.
Well, supposing they don't get the Rialto after all. There's no other theater available, and there won't be for months.
But they've signed the contract.
They have. But I haven't. And there's a clause in that agreement that makes the whole thing conditional on you being the star.
Well, I am.
At present. But supposing for some reason or other you walked out. Quite legally, I can refuse to let them have the theatre.
Perhaps you could, Philip. But what good would it do you?
They can't open. There's no other theatre to be got. They're landed with the scenery, the dresses, the cost. They've got to pay out a great deal of money without a prospect of any return. And then I offer to take over the whole production for a nominal sum. Don't you think they'd leap at the chance to get some money back? The show goes on at the Rialto, but under my management. And I get it for next to nothing.
Philip, you're as clever and cunning as the devil.
Thanks. The show's going quite well, isn't it?
Except for Madeleine Peters.
Oh, that.
Well, she is. Mm.
I don't think she'd ever been as bad as this, though. You'd think she was trying to pick a quarrel, wouldn't you?
What object would she have in doing that? No, I think she's just being Madeleine Peterish, but a bit more than usual.
It's a shame, because they're awfully nice.
All of them, darling.
Then what do you mean?
Oh, I thought perhaps you thought one was a little bit nicer than the other.
I think they're all nice.
They are. I wish that little man Potts wouldn't follow me about quite so much. It's very embarrassing.
Oh, Nutty, sweet.
He's always asking me out to lunch with him, or tea, or dinner. He doesn't seem to have an idea about his stomach.
Well, why don't you go?
Oh, I might go if he hadn't got all that money.
What difference does that make?
People might get the wrong ideas. I'd hate anyone to think I was another Madeleine Peters.
Nobody would ever believe you were a gold digger, maybe.
You'd be surprised what people would believe, particularly in this business. There's only one thing they'll never believe.
What's that?
That you're not far worse than they give you credit for, which, of course, doesn't leave you much margin.
I'm sure poor Nutty thinks you don't like him.
I think he's rather sweet, really. You remind me of a little dog I had once.
Oh, maybe.
It's something in the way he looks at you.
Not at me.
At me, then. With those big eyes and his head slightly on one side. Honestly, it might be Bingo.
Oh, poor Nutty.
I was very fond of Bingo. Luckily, he hadn't 75,000.
Neither has Nutty now. This show must have cost him a good bit already.
Yes, I suppose it must. Oh, I do hope it's a success.
So do I.
I think it will be. If Madeleine Peters doesn't ruin it, she's trying her best.
Oh, I wish they'd get rid of her.
Yes, dear, I'm sure you do.
I can't understand why she behaves like that.
Especially to Keith Gilbert.
Don't be silly.
Oh, darling, you've got as red as a beetroot.
Oh, shut up.
I don't see why you should mind. He's very nice, good-looking.
I'm thinking just as much about Mr. Brett and Mr. Hayes.
Oh, if you like to kid yourself, who am I to contradict you?
You know, they planned the show over in Alamein, and they wrote most of it there, too.
Mm, I know.
It's something to look forward to. And now they're going to see it in reality. Oh, it'd be dreadful if anything happened to spoil it. Oh, dear. I hope nothing will.
Well...
Oh, dear. I do hope not. Lord, look at the time.
Come on, we must go.
Keep quiet.
you just... Once again, please, Miss Peters.
I've already been through it four times, Mr. Gilbert. I'm a little tired and I want my lunch.
Sorry, I won't keep you much longer.
Oh, very well. The country air, with the song of the lark in the morning, as he joyfully gives out his warning that a new day is well on the way. The country air, with a net on the stream in the valley, that is why so remains the mentality.
Look, Peters, can't you put more feeling into it? As if it really meant something to you?
It doesn't mean a thing to me. I don't like the number.
What's the matter with it?
Everything. It doesn't suit me.
It may not suit you, but there's nothing wrong with the song.
That is a matter of opinion, isn't it?
It's a sentimental number, but the way you're singing it, it might as well be the multiplication table.
How dare you speak to me like that?
There's no need to lose your temper.
And what am I supposed to do? Say, yes, Mr. Gilbert, when you tell me that I don't know how to put a number over.
I didn't say that.
Oh, yes, you did. Or as good as.
Miss Peters, don't you realize the number is wrong?
Is that my fault? Of course it's wrong. The words are bad and the music's worse. And I'm not going to sing it.
I'm afraid you'll have to. It's the theme song of the show.
Oh, I shall. Now, look here, Mr. High and Mighty Gilbert. That number comes out, do you hear? I won't sing it, theme song or no theme song.
The number is staying in, Miss Peters.
Very well, then I go. You can find somebody else to sing your lousy music. I quit. And we'll see what Philip Defoe has to say about that.
Well, I say, Keith... What's up with La Peters?
Just had a row. You know, she stayed behind when Clifford broke for lunch to try over that new number.
Well,
I didn't like the way she sang it. I told her so. She lost her temper and walked out.
Gosh. What's going to happen now?
Don't ask me. Oh, she'll probably come back when she's got over it.
Hello. Oh, you both are very worried.
And Madeline Peters has walked out.
You mean she's left the show?
So she says.
Nobody else back yet.
It's 2:00. What's the matter?
I've had a row with Madeline Peters. She's chucked up a pot.
Oh, heck. The woman's impossible. Do you think she really means it?
Hmm? Oh, I know. She was in a flaming temper.
Well, we hope she'll cool down. Yes, Victor?
What are you starting with, Miss Brett?
I was going to start with that little number, you know, Country Air with Madeline Peters and the girls, but...
I know the number, Mr. Brett. I'll take Miss Peters' place for now, if it'd help.
Will you, Tangy? Well, that's fine. Call the girls, Victor.
Stand by, girls. We're getting to the Country Air number.
You ready, Keith?
Yep, I'm ready.
All right, then. Now, quiet, please, everybody. Quiet.
Oh, I'll do it in as written in, Esther. Thank you. When it's hot as can be, and the weather it is, but it may well set for a warm sunny spell, then I don't want to see, and I don't want to see, but I follow quite under the spell.
Good, Tangy. Jolly good.
Thank you.
Better than Madeline Peters ever sang.
Yes.
Whatever could.
I'll write you... Hello, here's Philip Defoe.
And trouble by the look of it.
Mr. Brett,
yes?
I'm afraid you'll have to find somewhere else to rehearse your show.
I don't understand you. You said we could rehearse here.
That was when we were discussing the possibility of your renting this theater.
Possibility? Now, wait a minute, Mr. Defoe. It was all fixed.
The contract has not been signed, Mr. Brett. I have instructed my solicitors not to proceed further with it.
But you can't do that.
I not only can, but I have. My offer of the Rialto Theater was conditional upon Miss Peters being the star on your show. Miss Peters tells me that she has resigned from the cast.
She walked out in a temper.
It does not concern me how or why she left. She's no longer in the cast. That is what matters.
Now, look here, Mr. Defoe. Let's talk this
over. There's nothing to talk over. I require my theater. Will you please arrange that all these people out of it as soon as possible?
Well, Madeline Peters didn't waste much time, did she?
No. What do we do now? We'd better go back to the office and have a conference with MacDonald.
Yes.
We've got to find another theater, quickly.
Beastly thing to do. I told you the other day to watch your step when you were dealing with Philip Defoe, didn't I?
Yes, you did, but I never thought that...
Supposing we can't find another theater, Clifford?
Then I'm afraid we've had it. The show won't go on.
Well, Philip, I think I worked that very well.
Very well indeed, my dear Madeline.
I thought I wasn't going to, you know. I tried to make them lose their tempers, but they wouldn't. They just took everything I gave and never said a word.
You succeeded in the end. That is all that matters.
What did they say to you?
What could they say? I was within my rights.
Supposing they do find another theater.
Oh, there's no danger of that. There's no theater besides the Rialto to be had in London for at least 12 months. They will either have to accept my offer or cut the losses. If they're sensible, they won't refuse.
They might if it was their own money. But they won't let their friend Potts down for more than they can help.
An admirable characteristic, my dear.
You're quite ruthless, aren't you, Philip?
I don't believe in false sentiment.
If it was you, you'd let Potts go hang, wouldn't you?
It wouldn't happen to me, Madeline.
You can't suggest anything.
Mm-hmm. I was afraid you couldn't, but I thought I'd ring you up on the chance. I know. Well, thanks very much. Goodbye. Well, that's that.
No luck?
No, I'm afraid you'll not get a theater, Brett. It's the same story everywhere.
You've got to do something. Can't you think of anything, Mac?
I've tried everybody.
We can't afford to postpone production.
We're going to lose thousands if we don't open of Nutty's money.
Don't you worry about that, Mr. Ives. It's not your fault.
I suppose it's mine, really. Look, I'm going to Madeline Peters and apologize.
No, Keith, you can't.
But it's...
No, it wouldn't do any good anyway.
Apologize to her? I should blink you or think not.
You're sure there isn't somewhere we've overlooked?
Not the place. We can't let all these people down. They've been rehearsing for over a week. We've got to find somewhere.
Having got so far, we're jolly well not going to be beaten by a blighter like Defoe.
Oh, it's all very well to talk like that, but you can't produce a theatre by wishful thinking.
Couldn't we take the show on tour?
Oh, we've thought of that. The same thing applies. The number one and two dates are all booked up for months ahead. And you couldn't take a show of this size to the number threes and hope to get out without a loss.
Yeah.
There's a tremendous boom in the entertainment world just now.
That's so maddening. We could have been cashing in on it.
Aye, it's terribly disappointing.
Disappointing? It's heartbreaking. When I think of all we've done and now this, I feel I could, like giving Mr. Philip Defoe a damn good hiding.
Which would only land you in jug, my boy.
As for Madeline Peters... She could have had a row if she'd wanted to without walking out and running to Defoe. She knew what the result would be.
Well, all this isn't getting us anywhere. What we want is some sound, constructive thinking. Now listen, is there any place we haven't thought of?
What about the Cambrian?
No.
That's not Ridley.
No, boy, no good. We've tried it.
We've tried them all.
There must be somewhere. There's got to be.
You're an optimist, Brett. I will say that for you.
Is there anything that's going to help?
If there was only some place that we could... make into a theatre, a large hall or something like that.
I'm afraid the cost would be far too great. You'd never find a place with the lighting and facilities you require for this production. There's no such place.
Yes, there is.
Hmm?
By Jove, there is. Why didn't I think of it before? The Regency.
What? Regency?
The old theatre in Oxford Street.
But, man, it's been closed for over 30 years.
What does that matter? We'll reopen it.
Man, you're crazy. It'll be in a terrible state.
We can have it cleaned and redecorated. Who does it belong to?
It belongs to the Maines, Isabel Maine and her son Alexander. But you'll not get leave to reopen it.
Why not?
Do you not know the story connected with it?
What story?
You've heard of Castleton, Maine.
The Shakespearean actor.
The great Shakespearean actor. His Hamlet was the finest performance ever seen on any stage.
Wait a minute. I've read something somewhere about Maine. He was murdered or something, wasn't he?
Aye, he was murdered. On the stage of the Regency, during a performance of Hamlet. The actor, playing Laertes, stabbed him in the throat. He was jealous of Maine's success. He died a year later, raving mad.
And the theater's been shut up ever since?
Aye, Mrs. Maine closed it. The tragic death of her husband upset her mind, poor soul. She was devoted to him.
You made his crackers?
As crazy as Ophelia, the part she was playing when it happened. They call the Regency the Haunted Theater.
Why, ma'am?
Well, there have been some queer stories.
If we can get the place, a few ghosts won't worry me. How can we get hold of Mrs. Maine?
Well, I'm not certain of the address, but we have it in the office somewhere, I think. Hayes, would you mind telling Miss Winter to come in?
Certainly. We ought to get a lot of publicity, reopening a theatre that's been closed for 30 years.
You've not got it yet. Don't count your chickens.
Miss Winter, will you?
And don't be pessimistic, Mac. We've got to get it. The Regency Theatre's our last hope. We'll persuade Mrs. Maine to let us have it, don't you worry.
She'll not listen to you. Miss Winter, could you find the address of Mrs. Isabel Maine for us?
Mrs. Isabel Maine?
Yes, you'll find it in one of the old files.
Yes. Excuse me, I couldn't help hearing what you said just now, Mr. Brett, about the Regency Theatre. You're not really thinking of reopening it, are you?
We're hoping to, if we can get it.
Don't, Mr. Brett. Don't.
Why not?
Because it's dangerous.
Dangerous?
Evil clings to places, and that old building must be steeped in it. Murder's been shut up there for 30 years. Don't let it out, Mr. Brett. Please, don't let it out. If you do, what happened once may happen again.
You have been listening to the first episode of The Show Must Go On, with Marjorie Westbury as Tangy Ward, John Bentley as Keith Gilbert, Geoffrey Lewis as Clifford Brett, Beverly Wright as Maisie Sheringham, Charles Lamb as Nutty Potts, Cyril Gardiner as Ronald Hayes, Elizabeth Maud as Olivia Winter, Olaf Olsen as Philip Defoe, Catherine Campbell as Madeline Peters, Ian Sadler as Angus MacDonald, and Kenneth Morgan as Victor Price. Also Alistair Duncan, Frank Atkinson, and Janet Morrison. The pianists were Peggy Desmond and Bert Whitten. The singers, the choral singers, Carol Dickens, Betty Sagon, and Janet Crawford. The production was by Martin C. Webster and Archie Campbell.
This program was originally broadcast to home listeners of the BBC.